Well, good morning, everyone, here at Church in the Marketplace, and good day if you're joining us online. We pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us today. Well, today, as Brody has said, it's going to be the last in a little series where we've been thinking about mercy, how mercy is a part of God's character, and how God calls us to be merciful too. We're going to look at an aspect of mercy that promises to bring some freedom to our lives and our relationships. And it's the truth that mercy forgives. There are two sides to this truth. And they're in Matthew chapter 6, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." In other words, this miracle of mercy brings freedom into our lives in two specific ways. One, when we say, "God, forgive me." And the second, when we say, "I forgive you." So remember the definition of mercy that we've been working with. Mercy is undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. I need that from God, and others need that from me. So how does it work? How does God apply this to me, and how do I apply it to other people? As we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Lord, thank you that forgiveness is part of your character of mercy. And Lord, we're glad that you forgive us. And we confess that often we find it hard to forgive others. So help us as we come before your word this morning to understand just how much your mercy and forgiveness of us means, and help us begin to know how that might overflow through our lives and into the lives of others, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So there's only two truths, if you like, that we're talking about today. The first one is that mercy means that God forgives us. In one sense, that's the greatest good news ever. God is willing to give us a completely fresh start, a clean slate to set us free. And that ought to be better than a sizable inheritance, because it's about us and not just about money. It's better than a cure for a disease, because it's about eternity, not just here and now. This is, if you like, the goodest good news that's ever been good. It's probably not a good way to say it, but you get the idea. But after a while, it seems like, oh yeah, already knew that. Could you tell me something I don't know yet? But you see, forgiveness is not just a theological fact. It is a personal gift from God to us. So to get inside the personal side of this, let me ask us a question. Do you feel forgiven? I mean, I know forgiveness is a fact, but I'm asking you, do you feel forgiven? Because I've talked to people who simply don't ever feel forgiven. And I think there's a problem if we feel guilty, but we never feel forgiven. We might hear someone say, "I just feel so guilty." I don't think I have ever heard someone say, "I just feel so forgiven today." We don't say that, but we should. Because when we feel guilty, it usually draws us away from God. I mean, who wants to be close to the one who's making us feel guilty, so we think. But when we feel forgiven, it draws us closer to God, because we know his love and his grace and we know his forgiveness. So here's a few facts to help us feel forgiven. Truth number one is God wants to forgive us. God wasn't forced into it. He chose to do it because of his love. So one of the ways to feel forgiven is to recognize how God feels about forgiving us. God wants to forgive us. God doesn't have to forgive us. God chooses to forgive us. Nehemiah says, "You are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry and full of love and mercy." God isn't reluctant to forgive us. God loves forgiving us. God wants to forgive us. God is full of love and mercy. So Micah 7:18 says, "You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." Did you know that showing mercy is one of the things that God delights in? It's one of God's favorite things to do. It's one of the things that makes God's day, just to forgive. Now, something that delights us is usually something we are looking forward to. So I imagine if God has an iPad, then he's looking through the photos and saying, look at these pictures of what happened. Maybe it's not Apple. Maybe God promotes technology equally and he's got an Android device too. You can figure that out when you get to heaven. But if God has a phone in heaven, he'd be looking at pictures of our forgiveness. That was a great day. That was a fabulous day. God absolutely delights in forgiving us. That's how God feels about our forgiveness. Truth number two, God freely forgives us. There's not some way we can earn forgiveness because it couldn't be earned. It's a great gift. God freely gives it to us. Romans 3:23, and we know the first part of the verse says, all of us have sinned. But the verse goes on to say, yet now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ who freely takes away our sins. Folks, we can never earn or deserve God's forgiveness. It is a gift of God's grace. Of course, just because it's free doesn't mean it cost nothing. It cost God everything. Jesus died on the cross in order to offer us the gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness for Jesus cost him his life. But for us, it's absolutely free. When we trust God, God freely forgives us. And because we're human, forgiveness is our greatest need. God, through Jesus, decided he'd give us the greatest gift, this incredible gift of forgiveness. Now, what would keep anyone from receiving that kind of gift? Well, there's maybe a lot of reasons, but I think there are two major ones. One is we simply don't believe it. How could something that good be true? Even though billions of people's lives have been changed by it, we somehow just can't quite believe it. But the fact of Jesus dying on the cross says it's true. God does love us. There is forgiveness for us. The second reason I think people have a hard time accepting this truth isn't that we don't believe it. It's that we think we don't deserve it. We look around, and we think all these nice church people here, if they knew what I've done, they'd know that this part of the message isn't for me. I don't deserve that kind of forgiveness because of what I've done or because of what I said. I absolutely don't deserve it. So let me just say, if you're feeling that way, the people that are sitting around you, those nice church people, they're probably not nearly as nice as you think they are. The truth of the matter is we all have our stories. In fact, let's just take the next 5 minutes to tell how not nice we are to the person sitting next to us. I'm just kidding. Folks, we all struggle. So I'm not minimizing the struggle that you have had. It may be greater than anyone in here, but that doesn't matter because God's forgiveness is greater than any sin. It's greater than any past. The grace of forgiveness is for every one of us. It can't be deserved. It's a gift that God wants to give. And he says he freely gives this gift. And then he sets us free. Colossians 1:14 says, in him we enjoy our freedom, the forgiveness of sin. So as we talk about feeling our forgiveness, my question is, are you enjoying your forgiveness? So just take a second just to enjoy it right now. You can stop having to pay the price for the wrong things you've done. Enjoy your forgiveness. You can stop letting shame and guilt push you into their mold. Enjoy the forgiveness that God has given into your life, the freedom he wants to give. You can stop feeling judged by God and by others right now. Enjoy the forgiveness he's given. You can stop letting that shame, that memory from your past, haunt you about what you did or what you said. Enjoy your forgiveness. Here's what God does. Shame, guilt, and fear are replaced by peace, grace, and love. That's what God does. That's the freedom that he gives us. So we recognize that God wants to forgive us. We recognize that God freely forgives us. Then we recognize that God immediately forgives us. It's not like God says, Peter, that particular sin, that one was pretty bad, and I'd like you to suffer a little while first, and then I'll forgive you. So could you come back next Wednesday or maybe the Wednesday after, and then we'll talk about it, and then I will forgive you. No, God immediately forgives. There is no sin in which God says, wait a while on that particular one. It was so bad. And then I will forgive you. And the reason it's immediate is because Jesus has already died on the cross. And because Jesus died on the cross, immediately we are forgiven no matter what. Isaiah 55:7 says, God is merciful and quick to forgive. So as someone who's been forgiven, as a follower of Jesus, should we ever feel guilty? And the answer is yes, maybe for about a second and a half, as long as it takes for us to recognize that God has forgiven us. Think of it this way. Guilt in our lives is a bit like the warning light on the dashboard of your car that comes on and says something is wrong. When the warning light comes on, we don't sit there and stare at the warning light. Well, I hope we don't. We do something about what's wrong. And when the warning light of guilt comes on in our lives, we don't sit there and stare at the guilt. No, we turn our eyes to the cross of Jesus. Every time we sense the feeling of guilt, we turn our eyes to Jesus because that's where the forgiveness is. That's where the grace is. That's where God's love is in every one of our lives. The truth is, there's this myth out there that somehow feeling guilty makes us a better person. It doesn't make us a better person. It just makes us a miserable person. Grace makes us a better person. So we turn our eyes to what Jesus has done. God immediately forgives us. Then God completely forgives us. Oh, come on. What are we doing here, man? Oh. Can you click it on, Rainer? I don't know. Oh, whoa, there we go. Maybe our battery's not doing so well. Thank you. God completely forgives us. Completely. Totally forgives us. When God forgives, there's no part of the sin that's not forgiven. There's no part of us that's not forgiven. God completely forgives. So Paul, writing to the Colossians, says, God forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. He cancelled the record, completely annulled it, as if it never happened. It's cancelled. If you have a bill that's been paid, how long do you remember it? We don't remember it at all. It's cancelled. And God has cancelled the record of our sin. Look at what it says. He destroyed it. It's not like God took the file of our sins and put it in some locked drawer for future use. Just in case we get out of line, he's going to bring it back up. He destroyed it. He took the file and he shredded it. And then he incinerated the shredding and then he atomized the incineration. Whatever your CSI mind needs to go through to realize there is no evidence left, go to that place. Because that's what God has done. God has absolutely, totally erased the record of our sin. It's amazing good news. It's amazing forgiveness. So Micah says, you will have mercy on us again. You will conquer our sins. You will throw away all our sins into the deepest part of the sea. So let me ask you, if God has forgotten our sins, shouldn't we? If God has completely annulled them, shouldn't we receive that gift of forgiveness? Friends, the problem is, until we understand complete forgiveness, every time something bad happens in our lives, we'll think God's out to get us and God is punishing us. But God's not out to get us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. So we stop feeling that God's punishing us and we recognize that God has forgiven us. We're not talking about justice here. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about mercy. God could have exercised justice on every one of us, but instead he decided to choose forgiveness. He chose to show us mercy because he loves us. He chose love over mercy. He chose mercy over justice. James 2:13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, it might be a good idea if we just stop right here. God forgives us. That's wonderful, good news. We can all feel pretty good right now. We can just go home a little bit early. That would be great. But there's another part of the truth. And because we've all been hurt in our lives, I know how difficult it is to even talk about this. So I'm praying for the grace of God's freedom even as we talk about it, because mercy means not only that we recognize that God has forgiven us, but mercy means that we forgive others. Now, I'm going to assume that all of us struggle in some way to forgive, and when we struggle to forgive, it's for two main reasons. One reason we struggle is we haven't been forgiven ourselves. If I haven't been forgiven by God, I can't give you forgiveness, not in the way that God intends anyway. But another aspect is that I don't feel forgiven. And if I don't feel forgiven, then I don't feel like forgiving you. That's why we talked about God forgiving us first. That's why we talked about feeling and sensing God's forgiveness in our own lives first. Because when we sense it, then we're able to share it with other people. So one reason is that I'm not forgiven or I don't feel forgiven. But I think the greatest reason people struggle with forgiveness is the fact that we've been given some misunderstanding about what forgiveness really is. There's a whole sort of Christian urban myth about forgiveness that has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. So to bring that out, I've got a quick quiz for you. True or false? What do you think the Bible says about these five things? A person shouldn't be forgiven until he or she asks for it. If you think it's true, false. Okay. We haven't really forgiven until we've forgotten the offence. True or false? Okay. Forgiving includes minimising the offence and the pain it caused. True or false? Couple of voices. Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. True or false? I should ask for a show of hands. Okay. When we see someone hurt, it's our duty to forgive the offender. True or false? The truth is all of them are false. The last one, for instance, if we see someone else hurt, it's not our duty to forgive them. It's the person who was offended who is to forgive them. It's not like we're Jesus going around and indiscriminately forgiving everybody who might need forgiveness. I forgive you for hurting her. I forgive you for hurting him. No, we forgive the person who has hurt us. So what does the Bible teach about forgiving others? Well, first of all, it says that forgiveness isn't conditional on something that somebody else does or something somebody else says. I want you to sit with that for a minute. Other people don't have to earn our forgiveness before we give it. They don't even have to ask for it. Ephesians 4:32 says, forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. But people don't have to earn our forgiveness any more than we could earn God's forgiveness. When it comes to forgiving other people, forgiveness is absolutely unconditional. There's no sin, there's nothing that we do not forgive. I want to take a deep breath about that. That's the challenging thought for today. There's one story that particularly helps me think about that. It's the story of Corrie ten Boom, who a few of you know was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. I know I've told the story before, so forgive it. And if you've read it in her book, then forgive me for using it again. But as a Christian, her family had housed Jewish families. And having been found out in Holland, they were taken into a concentration camp. Her sister died in that camp. After the war, she began to go around Europe telling people the good news of God's love, even in the midst of the devastation after the war. And an event happened to her. And I'm reading her story. I'll take a moment, but I think it's worth hearing, or hearing again for some of you. She writes, "I was in a church in Munich and I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a grey overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken. It was 1947 and I'd come from Holland to a defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next a blue uniform and a visor cap with a skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room at the concentration camp called Ravensbrück, with its harsh overhead lights and pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the centre of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. The man who was making his way forward had been a guard, one of the most cruel guards, and now he was in front of me, his hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know, as you say, that our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him. The leather crop swinging from his belt, I was face to face with one of my captors and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he didn't remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there, but I'd like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, and I could not forgive. My sister Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It couldn't have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but it seemed to me hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but also as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were also able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what their physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart, but forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. Would you supply the feeling? So woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder. It raced down my arm. It sprang into our joined hands. Then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I have never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Folks, what do we do with a story like that? One thing we often do is we feel guilty because we think last week the person I'm forgiving is the person at the office who said something about me, and here's this woman who's forgiven a guard in a Nazi concentration camp. And it's very easy to feel guilty about our struggles with forgiveness, but we all struggle no matter where we are. And the problem with feeling guilty and thinking, oh, I'll forgive them. I have to. If she forgave, I have to forgive. And then our forgiveness is only going to last as long as the guilt lasts. Guilt is not a great motivator for forgiveness. So instead of feeling guilty, let me invite you to see this. See God in this story. See the fact that God has the power to give the strength to forgive no matter what has happened in our lives. And we don't need that strength to forgive because we've never been through her experience. But we need our particular strength to forgive. And God has the power to give us the strength to forgive no matter what the circumstances in our lives. Forgiveness is unconditional towards others because of God's power of forgiveness towards us. There's another truth to recognize about what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. I know we've got that phrase, forgive and forget. That's not in the Bible. We can't forget anything. So how do we forget that pain that's happened to us? We know that's not going to happen. So we think we can't forgive because we can't forget. But forgiveness isn't forgetting. So Paul, writing to Timothy, says, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. He is the Apostle Paul. We just read him saying, forgive each other thoroughly, completely from the heart. And now he's saying, Alexander, that guy, he did a lot of harm. I hope God repays him for what he did. And maybe you're thinking, I can relate to that Paul. But I suspect that Paul has actually forgiven Alexander. But because he forgave him doesn't mean he forgot the hurt. Forgiveness and forgetting are two entirely different things. Paul, notice here, says not, I'm going to get even with him, but he says the Lord will repay him. That's how I know he's probably forgiven him. He's not holding it in his own hands anymore. He's saying, I handed it over to God. It's in God's hands now. God's going to repay him for what he's done. And if he turned his heart around, then God will repay him for good. As long as we hold bitterness in our heart and in our hands, as long as we hold the revenge in our hands, it is going to eat us up from the inside. So we turn it over to God. Paul had done that, but he didn't forget. There's another truth in this verse. Forgiveness isn't always trusting again. The last half of that verse we just looked at in Timothy says, Paul talks about Alexander and he says to Timothy, be on your guard against him. He doesn't say, I've forgiven him, give him another chance. He says, no, this guy who hurt me, who hurt the ministry, we need to be on our guard against him. Paul's forgiven him, but he's not yet trusting him. This thing of trusting people, that takes time. That has to be earned. There are cases when you forgive somebody and you should absolutely not trust them to be back in your life because of the way they've hurt you and the way that they've hurt others. Forgiveness is immediate. Trust has to be earned over time. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. And if it's not trusting, then what is it? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness, I think, is releasing it to God. When someone has hurt us, how do we start to heal? Revenge doesn't work. Repayment doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. That just brings it more and more back into our lives. Unforgiveness creates an undertow of emotion in our lives that will take us to places that we don't want to be. If you've ever been caught in a rip in the ocean, you know all of a sudden, because of the power of that current, you're someplace you didn't want to be. You didn't take yourself there. The current took you there. And unforgiveness is like that in our lives. It will take us places we do not want to be. We'll find ourselves saying things that we never wanted to say, doing things we never wanted to do. Being a person we didn't want to be. So we release it to God. Instead of saying, I'm going to take revenge, we say, God, it's in your hands. Instead of saying, I'm going to be the judge, we say, God, it's in your hands. I let it go to you. When we forgive like that, it has the power to set us free. There are two words in the Greek language that the New Testament was written in for forgive. One means to offer the gift of grace, and the other means to release or to set free. We're doing both when we forgive. We're offering a gift of grace, and we're releasing and setting free. We're giving it to God. And when we do that, when we release it, when we're set free, it actually sets others free as well. Forgiveness sets families free. Forgiveness sets companies free. Forgiveness sets countries free. There's tremendous power in forgiveness. The truth is, forgiveness isn't something that we do. It's something that God has done. Forgiveness isn't a gift that we give. It's a gift that God has given that we just pass on to somebody else. And once we recognize that forgiveness isn't about us, it's about God from beginning to end, that's the truth that we hang on to. That's the truth of forgiveness. Colossians 3 says, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Help me during this week to recognize the truth of your forgiveness and to feel the joy of your forgiveness, to enjoy the fact that you've forgiven me. You've given me permission to do that. Help me to give myself permission to do that, to enjoy your forgiveness. And Lord, if there's someone I need to forgive, I release it to you. I'm willing to be made willing. Lord, work with me and show me the way. And in the end, Lord, all of us, we say we're grateful for the forgiveness that's given through the cross of Jesus Christ, for the love that's shown to us. Thank you for the power of your love. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Brody.